We all want our lives to count for something. It doesn't matter what background you have, religion, gender, nation, or whatever. We all want to know that our lives matter. Even atheists want to know that their lives have a purpose. But how can you know? If your worldview suggests that your arrival here on Earth was just a result of random circumstance, then the significance of your life is going to be random too. That's why it's so important that you let your belief in God and His Word establish your worldview. The Bible says that God uniquely designed you because He has something for you to do that only you will be able to do with your life. Your life matters because you matter to God. I'm Rick, and I hope you'll join me today on Daily Hope as we look into the Bible to understand God's view of you. God's worldview will make a world of difference in your life.
Today on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we continue in a series called Reframing Your Worldview with part four of a message called What's the Solution? It's taken from various portions of Scripture. Here's Rick.
When Jesus Christ was on the cross, one of the things He did was, take your place. Another thing He did was buy your freedom. And another thing He did is restore the relationship to God by saying, I will be the mediator. I'm going to be the bridge builder between you and God. The Bible says this. Look here on the screen. Christ changed us from enemies into His friends and gave us the task of making others His friends also. Our message, here's the message, is that God is making all human beings His friends through Christ. God did not keep an account of their sins, thank God, and He has given us the message which tells us how He makes them His friends. What is that message? What we're talking about today. You know, in the Old Testament, before Jesus Christ, the only way you had access to God was through a priest. In fact, only the Jewish priest was allowed into the Holy of Holies. He had to represent all of the people before God because we were imperfect and God was perfect. And only one person was allowed on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. He was going to make atonement for the sins of everybody. And Jesus said, you know what? I took that idea and it's now out of the way. Now you can have direct access. I have been the mediator. And through Jesus Christ, I have direct access to God. You know what that means? You don't have to go pray through a priest. You don't have to go pray through a saint. You don't have to go pray through any other person. You can talk directly to God. You don't have to come confess to me as a pastor. The Bible says Jesus is our priest. He is the mediator, and you can go. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. You hear people say at the end of a prayer, and I pray this in Jesus' name. What's that mean? It means I don't have the worthiness on my own to come directly to God, but I'm coming directly to God because I'm coming in Jesus' name because of what He did on the cross. That's what the phrase in Jesus' name means. And when you pray a prayer, then you say in Jesus' name, which means I'm doing this because He's the mediator. He's the go-between. He's the bridge between man and God. And because of that, I can come directly to God. I can have direct fellowship with God. I can have direct communion with God.
The fourth benefit of Jesus' death on the cross is rebirth. It means that He gave me a new identity. Are there some things about your past you'd like to forget? I know there's some things about my past I'd like to forget. This past week, I Googled in the phrase, changing my identity. And to my surprise, 41,300,000 websites popped up, all on just this subject. I also found some interesting books. One was called Modern Identity Changer, How to Create and Use a New Identity. And my favorite of all, this one's a real winner, Changing My Identity and Disappearing Forever. Haven't we all wanted to do that one time or another? Why is it that we're so preoccupied with this identity thing? The discovery of it, the changing of it, escaping from it. Our culture really defines our identity on four basic levels. First level is what we do, it's our careers. Second, it's what we have, our possessions. It's what we know, number three, our education. And number four, it's how we look, our appearance. But our identity is so much deeper than that. At its core level, our identity is rooted in a spiritual level. You see, the best that our world can offer us in an identity change is really an extreme makeover. That's about it. Yeah, maybe some new skills we can pick up, maybe possibly changing a new name. But the change that Christ offers us is so radical and so profound that the Bible actually calls it becoming a new person. That you experience, when you ask Jesus into your life, a new birth and a new beginning. Something that takes place on the soul level, the core level of who you are and your identity. Titus 3:5 says this down on your outline. God saved us because of his mercy and not because of any good things that we have done. He washed us by the power of the Holy Spirit. He gave us new birth and a fresh beginning. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, anyone who belongs to Christ becomes a new person. The past is forgotten and everything is new. So what does it mean to become a new creation in Christ? There's a spiritual transaction that takes place where everything changes. This is a matter of faith, not by sight. It's when you become a believer, you don't all of a sudden look different to yourself in the mirror. It's still the same face, the same old you when you look in there. And it's unfortunate for some of us. But you don't get a new car, you don't get a new house or a new job. That all stays the same. Even your personality pretty much stays the same once you become a believer in Christ. If you were a quiet person before you came to know Christ, you're still probably going to be a quiet person afterwards. You don't all of a sudden become the life of the party. But what does happen is a spiritual metamorphosis. Let me ask you a real theological question here. It's deep, so hang on with me here, okay? Can a butterfly go back into a cocoon after it's come out as a caterpillar?
No.
From the mouths of babes, great wisdom. Great wisdom. Of course not. It can't happen. Once it becomes a butterfly, it is what it is, a butterfly. And when you become a believer, you're like a butterfly in that you've come out of your cocoon. It may take you some time to fly spiritually, but once you become a new creation in Christ, you are what you are. You are a new creation. Now, we're not talking about mere positive thinking, because positive thinking would be like a caterpillar deciding to glue on wings to try to fly. That's not going to happen. God gave us a new nature when we became a Christian, and reminding yourself of who you are in Christ is truthful thinking. The greatest step of faith that we can take in our lives is when we accept Jesus in our life and believe what God said about who Jesus is. But I believe the second greatest step of faith we can take is believing God about what he says about who we are. You are a new creation in Christ. Rick talked about two different symbols that help us remember who our new identity is. First was communion, and second is baptism. Look at your verse here on your outline, Romans 6:3-4. Sin's power over us was broken when we became Christians, and we're baptized to become a part of Jesus Christ. Through his death, the power of your sinful nature was shattered. And when God the Father, with glorious power, brought him back to life again, you are given his wonderful new life to enjoy. Circle that whole phrase, his wonderful new life to enjoy. You notice there it doesn't say a new life? That's important. It says his new life, his wonderful new life to enjoy. Because a true life, the better life, his life, a wonderful life, is only found in Christ. And when you become a Christian, you have a new life in him. In Revelation, it talks about how they sang a new song about what Christ did for us on the cross. Revelation 5:9 says, they sang a new song, you are worthy, for you were killed, and by your sacrificial death, you bought for God people from every tribe, language, nation, and race.
Now friends, this is the greatest news in the whole world. You're not going to get this anywhere else except from God's Word. Jesus took my punishment, replacement. Jesus bought my freedom, redemption. Jesus restores my relationship to God, reconciliation. Jesus gives me a whole new identity, and he wipes out all the things I've done wrong. Says, let's start over, rebirth. And then finally, number five, the fifth incredible benefit of Jesus dying on the cross is repudiation. And that means this, he defeated death. In fact, he defeated death and the devil. And the Bible says this in 1 John 3:8. It says, the Son of God came for this purpose, to destroy the devil's work. That's why Jesus came here, to destroy the devil's work. What is the devil's work? Messing up your heart, filling it with worry, filling it with guilt, filling it with resentment, filling it with anger, filling it with fear, filling it with confusion, helping you feel worthless and helpless and hopeless and aimless. Where do you think that comes from? Not God. And Satan's biggest tool in your life is fear. Fear does not come from God. The Bible says there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. And the Bible says God is love. So when you're afraid, that's not from God. There is no fear in love, and God is love.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's message called What's the Solution? From the series Reframing Your Worldview. We'll continue with more in just a moment, but first, be sure to check out rickwarren.org where you can sign up for Pastor Rick's free Daily Hope devotional. Thousands of folks just like you have benefited from Rick's personal and practical emails every day. So sign up and be encouraged. And while you're at rickwarren.org, listen to his latest message, connect with him on Facebook and Twitter, or shop our online store, which is packed with resources to help your walk with God. Find us online today at rickwarren.org. More Daily Hope with Rick Warren in just a moment.
The book entitled The Good Life by Pastor Rick's friend and mentor, the late Chuck Colson, asks the hard existential questions like, is there absolute truth? Where do we come from? What does it mean to live a good life? And more. In this revised version, Rick teamed up with Chuck and laid out 6 truth-filled, easy-to-follow lessons that will sharpen your Christian worldview, motivating you to live out your ministry of service and your mission to an unbelieving world. The Good Life by Chuck Colson is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Daily Hope radio broadcast. Request your copy when you call 800-600-5004 or visit rickwarren.org.
Once again, here's Pastor Rick.
Now, the number one fear that people have is the fear of death. And that Satan uses, the Bible says, to keep us enslaved. You see, the acid test of your faith, of your religion, of your worldview, your philosophy, the acid test of it is not how you act at the weddings or the baby births or the dedications or the parties or the graduations, or all the happy times in life. The acid test of what you believe is, how do you react in the funerals of life? I have been in a lot of funerals, being a pastor, and I have seen the difference of those with hope and those with no hope. And those with no hope who don't know God and don't know Jesus, I have looked into their eyes and seen the terror in their eyes when they have no hope for those loved ones who just died. And I have seen the difference that it makes when somebody knows the Lord, and the fact is Christians grieve. We have mixed emotions. But we don't grieve for the person who has died. We grieve for ourselves. We grieve with hope. We grieve because we're going to miss them. We grieve because we don't get to see them again till we get to heaven. But we don't certainly grieve for the people who die who know the Lord, because they're going to a better place anyway, where we were all designed to go eventually in the first place. This last week, we lost one of the great saints at Saddleback Church, Hugh Wells. Hugh Wells is an older man in our church who spent the last 20 years being an usher at Saddleback Church. And he would stand right back there in that 11:30 service on Sunday morning, back in the corner, and I could see him. He'd stand through the entire service. And about a month and a half ago, as I was finishing speaking at the 11:15 service, I watched Hugh take his offering out of his jacket and lean it over and put it in the offering plate right there, because we were getting ready to give our offerings, and then he collapsed. And never fully recovered, went into a coma, and he died on Friday. I thought, what a way to go if you're an usher. I'm going, you're in church, you've just given your last offering, it's the last thing you do on earth, and you go to heaven. Oh, wow. That is a way to go, okay? All right. I mean, we're all going to die. Why not die in a cool way? Okay. I mean, the very last thing he did was giving my gift back to God. What a cool thing. And I was talking to Loretta, his wife, for 48 years, because I was over there the night at his home before he died. And he was in a coma. And Loretta said, you know, Rick, we were married 48 years. And when we got married, Hugh made me three promises. He said, honey, you can always count on these three things. Number one, we will never, ever get divorced. No matter what happens, no matter what we do, no matter how angry we get, we're never getting divorced. Number two, we're always going to find some church home, and we're going to get in it. We're going to love God and serve God there, no matter where we live. And number three, we are always going to tithe the first 10% back to God. And she said he kept all three of those promises. Today, he is celebrating in heaven with a lot of other people that I know and love. And honestly, the more people who get on that side, the more eager I am to get there. Because I'm really kind of tired of some of the problems on this earth, some of the problems that I look around, and the rapes and the wars and the violence and the abuse and the pornography and the incest and all of the diseases and all of this is a broken planet, and we weren't meant to be here, as we talked about last week, forever. The Bible says this on the screen. With the cross, God won the victory and defeated spiritual powers. He showed the world that they were powerless. I'm not afraid of the devil. Not at all. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And the Bible says this. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, Jesus also became flesh and blood by being born in human form. For only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who has the power of death. That was his one tool. Only in this way could he deliver those who have lived all their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. You know, I'm not afraid of dying. I told another service a while back, I was on a plane trip to Tokyo. And halfway over the Pacific Ocean, in the middle of the night, one of the engines on the plane I was on burned out. And people got a little bit of nervous. We had half the trip still to go. It was a 12-hour trip. And then a little bit later, with one engine out, we went through some serious, I mean serious, turbulence. And people were freaking out. I'm sitting there going, I'm ready. I think I was the only calm guy on the plane, you know? I'm ready. Now, this next part I made up. I'm just telling you. The other part was true. So they look around for a pastor, and they said, anybody pastor here? And so I raised my hand. They say, well, do something spiritual. So I took an offering. I made that part up. I'm not afraid to die. Why? Because when you know where you're going and you know who's there and you're a friend of God who is there, you're not afraid to meet him. I'm not afraid to meet God. I've been his friend for 40 years. I talked to him this morning. We had a great little conversation this morning. Me and God, we're like this. Okay? Now here's the cool thing. You can be like this with God. It's not some special relationship. It's not like God said, well, only pastors or priests or missionaries can be like this with God. God says, I want you to be my friend. I want you to have a constant, ongoing conversation. I don't say the end of amen at the end of all my prayers. I just talk to God all day. Talk to him about this and that, whatever's on my mind. It just comes out. And I just have a running conversation all the time. You see, you're not really ready to live until you're ready to die. In fact, you can't live. You're just existing until you're ready to die. And only a fool would go all through life totally unprepared for something you know is inevitable. We're all going to die. I don't know, you may not want to talk about it, but we're all going to die at some point. Well, why not be prepared? You become a friend of God, so then it's not a big deal. You're not scared. You know you're going to be with your friend. The Bible says this, we know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was the signal of the end of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. Jesus' death guaranteed the death of death. It just isn't that scary anymore. He neutralized Satan's only tool, the fear of death, because Easter was a total surprise to Satan. So anytime you're afraid, You're afraid of something? You run to God. Why? Because when God is near, you lose your fear. Now, here's the point. When you understand these five things that Jesus did, instead of feeling worthless and hopeless and helpless and powerless and aimless in life, the cross says this about you. You are valuable. You are lovable. You are forgivable. You are capable. And you are usable for God's purpose in your life.
That's Rick Warren with Daily Hope. In a moment, Rick will be back to share a closing thought, but first, check out the Daily Hope website, rickwarren.org, after today's broadcast. Log on there and you can get today's entire message, the message series, get message notes, social media links, and sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope devotional, which is wonderful. Log on now at rickwarren.org. Also, we'd love to let you know about a special gift we have to say thanks for your donation to support this Daily Hope broadcast. It's a powerful book by the late Chuck Colson called The Good Life. Pastor Rick shares in the foreword of this helpful book that Chuck was relentless in his pursuit of truth in every area of life. And Chuck brings this passion to bear in The Good Life as he helps you answer hard existential questions like, is there truth? Is it knowable? What difference does it make? What does it mean to live a good life? Chuck asks and answers these questions in a way that can literally change your life and the lives of those around you. The Good Life is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Daily Hope broadcast. So please request your copy when you call us today, 1-800-600-5004. And if you could, please consider giving just a little more today to help support this program in your area. We are 100% supported by listeners just like you. So we really appreciate your gifts, prayers, calls, emails, your testimonies, and more. And we would love the chance to pray for you, too. So give us a call today at 1-800-600-5004. And now here's Pastor Rick with a final thought for today.
When Jesus defeated death, it also means he defeated the devil. Do you know that's why he came to earth? The Bible says in 1 John 3:8, the Son of God came for this purpose, to destroy the devil's work. So what is the devil's work? It's messing up your heart. It's filling it with worry, filling it with guilt, filling it with resentment, filling it with anger and fear and confusion. The devil's work is to whisper in your ear to say, you're worthless, you're no good, you don't matter, you never amount to anything. Your life is meaningless, aimless, purposeless. That's the work of the devil, to discourage you. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brothers. Where else do you think that stuff comes from? It's not from God. God doesn't say those things to you. Satan says those things to keep us enslaved. And the biggest tool he uses is fear. We know fear doesn't come from God. 1 John 4:18 says this, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear. And the Bible says God is love, so fear never comes from God. In fact, the Bible tells us that God is the opposite of fear. God is love. When I'm afraid, that fear is not from God. There is no fear in love, and God is love. You know, as a pastor, I've learned that the number one fear for most people is the fear of death. And Satan will use that fear to manipulate us. But Jesus defeated death. He destroyed the devil's work. When we grieve a death, we actually grieve with hope because death is not the end. Death is a transition for the believer. In Hebrews chapter 2, 14 and 15, it says this, because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who has the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. If you've been afraid of dying, you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that fear will depart from you because you'll know that when you die, you're not ending, you're transitioning to the place God meant for you to be in the first place, in eternity with Him. I'm Rick. Thank you for listening today. And join me next time as we continue in our study of God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and listeners like you.